The looming US election to close with today, and as we have been promising you this morning, Karen Kassler is joining us once again, the State House Bureau Chief for Ohio Public Radio and Television. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, and thanks for coming on, because there's so much to ask you. Polls show Joe Biden ahead nationally and in key states. But the news website The Hill says Trump is winning. The New York Times says it feels different on the ground in Pennsylvania, with the polls showing Biden winning, but all the energy with Trump. NBC News, state polls chronically estimate Republican strength in the Midwest and Florida. And goodness knows there is poll after poll. Karen, what's happening?
Well, there's a new poll out from Fox News, which shows that Biden is actually leading. His lead has actually grown. He's ahead by 52% to 44%. Now that's one poll. There are a lot of different polls. It sure seems like, as we come down to a little over 2 days before this election, that the momentum has not shifted enough to Trump to really energize people dramatically. I mean, a lot of Republicans that you talk to here will say, hey, we're voting on Election Day. We're not going to early vote, which a lot of people, a lot of Democrats especially, have been early voting. But you have to look at these polls and think that this is the kind of lead. The lead is outside of the margin of error. Things are different than they were in 2016, that these polls may really be indicating a big win for Democrats and for Biden in particular.
And Ohio is a swing state. Yes, they talk about the feeling on the ground with the Trump supporters. What's your feeling on your ground?
Well, I can tell you, again, looking at polls, the Quinnipiac University poll out of Connecticut, which is considered one of the gold standard polls in the United States, in 2016, it had Trump winning 46 to 41. And the final result was he won by 8 points in Ohio. This time around, it has Biden 48%, Trump 43%. So if the poll was right in 2016, could the poll be right this time? That's a possibility. And I will tell you, if that poll was right, and if Donald Trump does take Ohio, that potentially means that it's going to be a landslide for the Democrats, because Ohio has become a more conservative state. It really voted very conservatively in 2016. Now, most people will be watching states like Pennsylvania and Florida, but there are some other states in play that are really surprising. I mean, Texas. There were a lot of people who never thought Texas would be in play for a Democratic presidential candidate, and yet that's a possibility as well. So there are some states to watch. Ohio may or may not be one of them, but certainly people here in Ohio think that this could potentially be a flip back toward the Democrats. This state voted for Barack Obama twice, so there's a possibility that it could go again for the Democrats.
Okay, so Ohio is certainly a state to watch. And if that's all true, and of course there have been last-minute so-called effects on the vote, the Hunter Biden allegations in the New York Post, and picked up now by more mainstream media like the BBC and the Washington Post, also the Walter Wallace shooting in Philadelphia. You and I have talked about the justice issues around police shootings. What about the political impact this might have close to Election Day?
Well, I think there is a bit of fatigue here in this country that may be leading to some of these stories not having as much of an impact as they might have had a couple of months ago. I think between the fatigue over the election and the fatigue over COVID, that people are just tired of some of this news and are just ready to vote for who they're going to vote for. It certainly explains the voter turnout. I mean, we are potentially approaching half the people who voted in 2016 have already voted early in this country, which is incredible. The numbers, the lines today in Ohio to vote early were 2 and 3 hours long in some places. And that's just an extraordinary turnout. I'm interested to see how that works on Election Day, when we're likely to see more Republicans turning out. But I think that there's a little bit of fatigue that's going on here, and a feeling of we just kind of want to get this over with. We want to move on and move to the next stage of whatever we have to deal with here, because COVID is really making a comeback if it ever really went away in this country. I mean, Ohio has had, I think, 6 days in a row now of record hospitalizations. There are a lot of states that are reporting problems with running out of bed space, and we have 210,000 Americans who've died. This is becoming a very, very serious problem here.
If all that's true, the question I started and didn't finish, the indicators for Biden, people tired, then the overall feeling of the electorate would be we just want to see the U.S. out of this mess.
Yeah, I think that's true. And so I think that there are among some voters the attitude of what can the government really do? But then there are other voters who feel that something can be done and that Biden has a better plan than Trump, because Trump's plan so far has seemingly been don't wear a mask. Let's open everything up. And you see what's happened with that. That has not been a particularly successful way to go, because like I just said, we're now approaching the holiday season when people are going to want to get together. We're going to spend a lot more time indoors because it's going to get cold in this part of the world. And we've got these rising numbers, these huge numbers in some states. And so I think there's a real worry about what's going to happen among people who were already worried. The question is, what are the people who were never worried about this going to do? And we have a significant number of people in this country who have not been worried, who think it's a hoax, who are taking false information from public officials who have been talking about it, like the president, saying it's going away and that there's no reason to worry about it. There is a reason to worry about it.
Just turn the corner, just around the corner. On TV, on TV, we've seen all the preparations in the last couple of days, all the wooden shutters being nailed up in case of unrest, and given the level of unrest you have already seen, this might appear inevitable, Karen.
Yeah, well, 3/4 of Americans responded to a recent poll saying they are concerned about the possibility of violence. We've had some incidents around the country where there have been armed people showing up at the polls. There have been these Trump parades where people who support the president have been driving around in their cars and trucks that are all decked out with flags and that sort of thing. There have been some shootings, some other things that have been happening that are really unfortunate and terrible. And so I think there is a real concern amongst people in this country that Election Day is going to be a day that's not going to be a joyful, peaceful day, but a day where there might be some violent incidents. And so, yeah, there are a lot of places. I know the town that I live in, Columbus, which is the state capital of Ohio, a lot of our downtown businesses never reopened from the boards. Some of the businesses opened, but they never took down the boards after the George Floyd protests back in May. And so that's what I think a lot of people are expecting, is protests either way, no matter who wins. And that's really what's worrying here is, you know, no matter who wins, half the country potentially is going to be ticked off. And that makes it very hard for this country to come back together and try to heal and fight COVID at the same time.
But the result could be slow moving. And this is an important question to ask you. We have heard about some of the enormously complicated postulations and predictions about how this election could become an impasse. We've heard the 12th Amendment could be invoked so that the House of Representatives decides the outcome, one vote per state, which would favour the Republicans. We've heard about a go slow with vote counting in Republican-controlled states so that the December 14 Electoral College deadline could be missed, that this could go to the Supreme Court, that the Democrats could veto that happening. So how likely, Karen, are these dark scenarios?
Well, my crystal ball is broken, or else I would have tried to predict a lot of this earlier. And I mean, this year has been so crazy that I suppose any of those scenarios are possible. I'm trying to be optimistic based on what I'm hearing from some of the people behind the scenes who are doing polling and working with numbers, that maybe it won't be that bad. But certainly there are concerns about taking this election and moving it out of the, so to speak, voters' hands and into other avenues and other venues like you're talking about there. And I mean, I remember in 2000 when Bush versus Gore went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and it was an awful long time, an awful long wait to finally find out what actually happened. And of course, in that case, Al Gore did eventually concede. I don't see Donald Trump conceding it if it ever gets to that point. So I think there's a lot of threat of lawsuits. But one thing that's been notable is that the lawsuits that have been filed by the president's people, typically the courts have ruled against what he's been alleging in various cases with regard to early voting and that sort of thing. I don't know if that is any sort of a predictor of what might happen. Obviously, with Amy Coney Barrett now on the U.S. Supreme Court, his third pick, there's a thought that she's going to rule in his favor, but that's not a guarantee. I mean, certainly Supreme Court justices have ruled against their own party many times. So it's very, very, it's one of the many, many things that make Americans very apprehensive right now, I think.
And the Supreme Court has been in the past sympathetic to voter representation and the rights of people to vote. So that is by no means a certainty that a conservative Supreme Court would somehow start to rule in favor of Donald Trump.
Right. And if you get an over, I mean, the overwhelming turnout that we've had already has been huge. And I think it would be, you know, if we get record voter turnout, which seems very, very likely in this country, the idea of ruling against what the voters have decided just seems almost impossible. I don't know what the voters are going to decide, though. We won't know until, well, at the very earliest Tuesday, but we're getting a lot of indications that we won't know until much later on in the week, maybe even the week after. I certainly hope not. I know Ohio will have a lot of its votes counted on Tuesday night. So the more states that can actually count as many of their votes as possible, the sooner we get this over with.
That's a good tip. We'll watch Ohio. As you say, Trump may win. Everybody keeps saying Trump may. But if it is still is the economy stupid, as Bill Clinton once famously observed, you would wonder how on earth a sitting president could survive your massive unemployment numbers, Wall Street having its worst week in months, 23 million Americans on benefits, and a delayed stimulus package. All that.
Yeah. And Trump, I mean, the polls have shown that people seem to trust Trump more on the economy than they trust Biden. And yet Trump is doing, I think, 16 rallies from yesterday until Election Day. He's doing like four stops a day. And he's not talking about the economy as much as he's talking about other things. He's bringing up conspiracy theories like that doctors and hospitals get paid more money for COVID deaths and things that are completely untrue, as opposed to talking about the economy and talking about his plans for his second term, which we still haven't ever really heard him talk about. And so I think that that's a really interesting point. It's a potential area where he could be winning, and he's not choosing to talk about that path. And yeah, whoever does win, though, has huge work to do, not just in uniting the country, but trying to bring this country back from the economic mess that it's in right now and making sure that it doesn't go even deeper into economic troubles as this COVID crisis continues.
In many ways, this election will solve, well, it will certainly decide things, but it won't solve anything regarding the deep divisions in your society, will it?
No, it won't. I mean, like I was saying, potentially half of this country is going to be angry no matter what happens in this election. The third party candidates that quite often get, 5 to 8% of the vote seem to be getting no traction at all. It really seems to be down the middle one way or the other. And there's a huge number of Americans who don't vote at all. There's potentially up to 30% of Americans who won't vote at all. And so I think that the person who wins, the man who wins this, has a tremendous amount of work to do. And that was the last question in the last debate, was what would you tell the people who didn't vote for you when you do your inauguration address? And Biden talked about being a president for all people, and he wanted to be an American president for all Americans. Trump didn't have an answer for that. And so I'm very, very concerned about trying to heal the divisions in this country and figure out where can we go from here and try to bring folks back together again, because it sure seems like it's a long way to go.
You have been to national conventions. You have been on the road with major candidates. You've seen a lot of the big elections. You have presumably never seen anything quite like this, Karen.
I say that every time.
Oh, do you?
Because every time it gets more different. It's so different from the last time, but this one is just extraordinary with all of the pressures that are going on right now, between the economic pressures related to COVID, the pandemic, and the way that the pandemic has changed the way the candidates campaign. I mean, there are a lot of people who look at these presidential rallies and think, how in the world are you bringing together thousands of people in the middle of a pandemic, especially if they're not wearing masks, they're not staying socially distant? Why would you do this? Whereas Joe Biden is has not been doing as much campaigning, certainly, as Trump, and his campaigning has been a little bit different. A lot of car drive-in rallies, that sort of thing. But yeah, every election is different. This one is definitely the most different.
Biden's got a plan to assemble a new team of health officials to guide the country out of the pandemic. But of course, even in countries where all the experts are listened to, it's grim currently. This is the thing that President Biden, the question is whether he can galvanize the country sufficiently too. You know, it could be a dark prospect either way in the short term, couldn't it?
Absolutely. And I mean, when you do have people who are actively rejecting what the doctors and scientists are saying, I don't know how you bring them back into the fold and convince them that, yes, you should be wearing masks. Yes, you need to stay away from people. Yes, you need to wash your hands. I mean, like I was saying, we're getting ready to go into the holiday season. And a big message has been, don't get together with your family and friends for American Thanksgiving and for Christmas. And there are a lot of people who say, no, I'm going to go ahead and do things the way I've always done it. And that's the concern. A lot of the spread of COVID in this country is related directly to small groups of people getting together when they probably shouldn't be. Different households who are coming together, and it spreads there, and then it goes out and spreads to the whole community. So I don't know how you bring some of these deniers and people who don't want to change what they're doing into the pack of doing things the way that doctors and scientists are telling us to do.
Karen Kasler, thank you very much for your expertise, and gee, what an interesting few days it's going to be. Thanks for joining us, Karen.
Glad to talk to you.